Okay, today's daf is Nida daf Nun Hey. We are holding on daf Nun Dalid Amud Beis toward the end of the page. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Lezecher Nishmas, Mordechai Ben Yoshua, Menachem Mendel, Marcel Weber, who's niftar on Shabbos Tes Kislev. We thank Henry very much for the sponsorship and the Shema Shrav and Aliyah. And it's also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And we thank him very much for the continued sponsorship as well. So we are holding, again, toward the... We started the Gemara already on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, but we are up to Ula Taimeich. So we're in the middle of a back and forth a little bit over here, where the Gemara is essentially going to try to figure out whether Mishkav U'Moshav is limited to things that can actually sit down. Meaning, the last thing we discussed was whether Dam is subject to the Tumah of Mishkav U'Moshav, because we're going through all of the items listed in our Mishnah that are Mitame, whether they're Mitame Lach V'Yavesh, or they're only Mitame Lach and not Yavesh, the different items. So the first item on the list was the Dam of a Nida, which is Mitame both Lach and Yavesh. Then on the top of Amud Aleph, we're going to have two different opinions on what the source is that of Tumas Basar Ames, and that's going to lead us into a discussion of the status of Or Hames. What about the skin of Hames? Its status as far as Tumah and as far as just in general being Nene from Or Hames is something also worth a discussion over here. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the source for Zov being Mitame Adam and the Begadim Shalav in both Maga and Masa. How we know the full effect of Tumas Zov, the Tumah of the Zov itself, not of the person the Zov comes from, but of the actual fluid that emanates from the person's body. And then we're going to discuss the source for Tumas Maga and Masa of Roke, of saliva. And then we're going to have a machlokas, what exactly Mei Ha'af is. How do we identify what the Mei Ha'af is, and whether there's a separate Mayan for Mei Ha'af, or it's just one of concern that it's going to get mixed with one of the other Mayanos, like Roke, and that's why it's Mitame, or is there actually a separate Mayan called Mei Ha'af, and that's going to be the last discussion on the Daf today. So let's begin. Again, what we had said yesterday was we wanted to know how we know, what the source is that Dam Nida is Mitame B'Mago B'Masa, just like the Nida herself. And the Gemara had said, because the Pasuk says V'Adava B'Nidasa, so we darshin, just like she is Mitame B'Mago Masa, so too the Madva is Mitame B'Mago Masa. The flow itself is Mitame B'Mago Umasa. So the Gemara had asked, well, wait a second, if we're going to compare the flow to her, well, she's also Mishkav Emotion to be Metame Adam, to be Metame Begadim, that which she sits on becomes an Avatuma, that which she lies on becomes an Avatuma. Should we say the same thing is true about her Dam, that the Mishkav and Moshav of her Dam is able to become an Avatuma? So Gemara said, of course not, because Dam can't sit, Dam can't lay down. There's no such thing as Mishkav and Moshav by Dam. So the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, is that necessarily true that just because there's no such thing as Dam sitting or laying down, that means they can't be Mitame Mishkav Moshav? Second to last skinny line, last word on the line, Ula Taimeich, according to that Shita, that you can't have Mishkav Moshav for something that can't lay down or sit down, Evan Minugas Bas Mishkav Moshavi De Isra Kral Lamute, is an Evan Minugas, a stone of a house that has tzaras, something that does sit down or lay down, that you're going to need a pasuk to tell me it's not Mitame Mishkav Moshav? Titania, because after all, we do have a brisa that does just that. That says, Yachl Te'evin Minugas Osa Mishkav Moshav, Letami Adam Tami Begadim. You might think that an Evan from a house that has tzaras is Mitame Mishkav Moshav to be an Avatuma, Vidinu, and we can learn it really from a Kal V'Chomer. Umaz Zav She'inu Mitame Bibiya. If Zav, which is more Kal, that it's not Mitame a person when you go into the same room as a Zav. Bibiya over here means Bia La Ohel, going into the same ohel as a Zav, and yet the Torah is still machmir by a Zav that osa mishkav moshav tamei adam tamei begadim, that a Zav is so tamei that he's able to make that which he sits on or that which he lays down on into an avatuma. So evan minugas, a stone from a house that has tzaras, shemetame bevia, which is more chamer than Zav in the sense that it's metame ba'ohel. So in adin shemetame mishkav moshav tamei adam tamei begadim, so it should be a kal v'chomer that it should be able to make a mishkav moshav. So tamei lomer, that's why I need need a pasuk to tell me hazav. The pasuk says kol mishkav asher yishkav alav hazav yitma. So that word hazav is extra, and it's coming to tell me that hazav v'lo evan menugas, that only hazav makes a mishkav moshav, but not evan menugas. So what do we see from there? That I needed a pasuk to tell me that evan menugas is not mitam mishkav moshav. Taima demia tekra halav hachi mitama. So the diuk is that had I not had a special pasuk, I would have naturally assumed that evan menugas is mitami mishkav moshav, even though stones don't sit, stones don't lay down on things. So shouldn't we say the same thing is true by dam nida, that dam nida should be able to be mitame mishkav moshav, even though it doesn't sit, even though it doesn't lay down on anything? So says Gemara, umina, no, from this brisa itself that we learn the makar, that dam nida does not make mishkav moshav, because lav mi amrit, didn't we say hazav, we made a drasha from the word hazav, velo evan menugas, and we said, yeah, only a zav makes mishkav moshav, not an evan menugas. So achinami, we could be memai dam nida from the very same thing. Amar kra, because the pasuk says when it comes to mishkav moshav of a zava, asher he yoshev es alav, the word he is extra. He velo dama, that only she is matai mishkav moshav, but her dam is not matai mishkav moshav, which means we've just shifted the paradigm a little bit, meaning the assumption right now in the Gemara is that I need a miut, that in a chinami, things that do not sit down, things that do not lay down, can still be matai mishkav moshav in theory, unless you have a pasuk to tell me that they're not matai mishkav moshav. So why isn't dam nida matai mishkav moshav? Not because it can't sit down. Things that can't sit down can be matai mishkav moshav. Dam nida is not matame mishkav moshav, because I have a pasuk, he and not dama, that only she is matame and not her dam. So Gemara explains, why we don't learn dam nida from nida as far as tuma even misama now, meaning the pattern of the Gemara has been that we do learn dam nida from nida, right? We do learn, we are able to say that the halacha of dam nida is derived from nida, because it says v'adava bin nida sa. So we said ma'hi mitama af madva mitama. It's just that it's not going to apply to mishkav moshav because I have a special miut in the pasuk. What about the tumah of evan misama? What's the tumah of evan misama? The pasuk says when it comes to boel nida kol mishkav asher yishkav alav yitma. And the medrash darshins that even if a zav and a zava, or if a zav and a zava or a nida were on an evan misama, which is a heavy rock that's placed on top of begadim or on top of kelim, the begadim that are underneath that rock are tameh. So, but other tumos, even those that are metameh b'masa, if it was on an evan misama, is not metameh the begadim or the kelim that are underneath that heavy rock. So imahi mitama be'evin misama, afmad v'nami mitama be'evin misama. So should I say, well, look, if Anita herself could be mitama be'evin misama, if she sits on a heavy rock and underneath that rock there's clothing, that clothing becomes tamei. So maybe the dam nida also, if it's on top of a heavy rock and there's clothing under the rock, that clothing should be tamei. So answer Gemara, amravashi amakra vanose osam osam mi utahu. You're right. We do compare dam nida to Anita, and therefore it should be Mitami Bevan Misama, unless we have a miyut in the pasuk, and we do, because the pasuk that talks about Mishkav Hazav says Vanose Osam, and then it's Vitame Ada Arev. So Mishkav Hazav that is lifted, that is carried by Nevan Misama, the Cham Darshan from Vikala Mishkav, that it's Mitame Kalim that are underneath it. So Osam is a miyut that only that which is Nose that Mishkav is Tame, even Bevan Misama, but Dama Nida is not Mitame Bevan Misama. Good, now we just continue to go through the list in the Mishnah of items that have tumah, that transmit tumah. Ubasar ames, we mentioned flesh of a dead body being metame, lach, and yavesh. In its metame, whether it's dry or moist, those were the only two items that the Mishnah said that are metame, lach, and yavesh, the damanida and the basar meis. So minolan, how do I know basar meis is metame even when it's yavesh? Amresh lakish, amakra l'chol tumoso parshos mimenu, that the pasuk says when it comes to eating truma. So it says the phrase l'chol tumaso. So we darshan for all the tumos that are porish from a person even after he dies. And basar is metame bein lach bein yavesh. So Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says no, it's from a different pasuk. Pasuk says o be'etzem adam o bekever, that if a person comes in contact with a dead body with an etzem adam or bekever, he's tame for 7 days. So adam dumya de etzem. So we darshan a dead body is similar to an etzem. Ma etzem yavesh afkan yavesh, just like a bone by definition is dry and it's metame, so too the basar of an adam that's dead is metame even when it's dry, when it's similar to a bone in that it's dry. Now he doesn't want to learn from the phrase l'kol tumaso because he holds that the drasha the rabbis tumas zava zava is kedivrei akol, so he needs basar. It's needed to teach me that basar meis is metame. He needs to learn basar meis metame even biyavish from a different limud. That's what the Aruch Lener points out. Why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't want to say like Reish Lakish, but says Gemara, "My benayu, what's the nafkamina between the limud of Reish Lakish and the limud of Rabbi Yochanan? Ika benayu di ifrich afruche. The nafkamina between them is if it's so dried out that it crumbles. That according to Rabbi Yochanan, it has to be like bone, which is dry, but it doesn't crumble. And therefore, once Basa gets to the point that it crumbles, it's going to be tahar. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, we learn from lechol tumaso." Any type of makeup that it might have, it's able to be tameh, even if it crumbles. So now the Gemara challenges Meisvei. So the Gemara asks on Reish Lakish. We have a brisa. Basra meis shehufrach tahor. It's explicit in the brisa that once basra meis gets to the point that it's so dried out that it crumbles, it's tahor. So it's mefurash like Rabbi Yochanan. So how's Reish Lakish going to answer that? Hasam da'akmach v'havei afra. No, the brisa is talking about that it's dried up so much that it looks like it's a flour and it's like afar and not like basar. Then it's for sure tahor. Reish Lakish is a marbet to be metame even in a case where it's a little bit nifrach, but not where it's completely turned into like a flour-like substance. So Meisvei, now the Gemara asks on Reish Lakish and on Rabbi Yochanan. But the Braisa tells us kol shebemeis metame chutz mina shinayim v'aser v'tziporin. Any part of a dead body has the ability to transmit tumah except for teeth, hair and nails. Ubishas chiburan hakol tameh. And while those things are actually attached to the body, to the dead body, they're all going to be tameh. So you see that teeth, even though they are like a bone, they're tahar when they're separated from the body. So that's a kasha both on Reish Lakish, who says that anything that's porish min ames is metameh, and Rabbi Yochanan, who says that anything that's like bone is metameh. Teeth are something that separates from the body, and it's something that's very similar to bone, and therefore it should be metameh. No, teeth are not metame for a different reason, because only things that are similar to bone are metame, in that a baby is born with bones, but a baby is not born with teeth. So since a person is not born with teeth, so that's why it's not considered a real part of the dead body that's going to be metame. Vayika ser v'tziporen. Aye, but we mentioned ser v'tziporen, shenivru uimo utahorin. The Braisa mentioned those items being tahar, and those items are things a baby is born with. Ela meravad barav dum yuda etzem. Ma etzem shenivru imo ve'en gizomachlif. I've called shenivru imo ve'en gizomachlif. There's a second qualification. Not enough that the person is born with it. It has to be something that the person is born with and doesn't regenerate when you lose it. So viyatsu hashinayim shalom nivrimo, and therefore that excludes teeth because the baby's not born with teeth. And yatsu ser v'tziporen shalpi shenivrimo gizomachlif, and that excludes hair and fingernails, because those are things that when you cut them, when they're removed, they grow back. Hair, at least until a certain point in life, but it grows back when a person cuts it. So those are things that are gizomachlif, and therefore they're not considered to be dumyu de'etzem. Says Gemara, okay, but what about varei or de gizomachlif? Skin, if you cut it off, it does grow back. Titnan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Chulin, Hagluda, any ore that gets peeled off because of boils that a person might have, or because of work that he did, whatever it is that caused that trauma, that the skin gets peeled off. Rabbi Meir Machshir, Rabbi Meir is Machshir the Behema, because the ore that's gonna come back doesn't make it a treifa. I mean, if this happens to a behema, that it becomes galuda, it's not going to make it a treifa because the ore is expected to regenerate itself. The chum pulsen, the chum say the you're not allowed to eat such an animal because it became a treifa when the ore was peeled off of it. Even the Rabbanan only say that it's possible because we assume that by the time the ore does grow back, it will have become infected, meaning it's going to be so much of the animal is going to be exposed to the atmosphere and it's going to ruin all of the basar, umesa, so it will die before it ever has a chance to heal. But liolam gizo machlif, but really they hold that the ore is gizo machlif. Everyone agrees that ore grows back. The only question is whether the animal is going to be a treifa because it will die before the ore grows back. Vitaninan, and we still have a Mishnah Maseches Chulin that says Elu Shorosem Kibisaran Or Ha'adam, that the following Balei Chayim, the Or is Metame like their Basar even after the Or is removed, and we include on the list Or Ha'adam and other types of Oros of other Balei Chayim. So you see that Or Hames that's been separated from the Mace should be Metame like its Basar, even though it's Gizom Achlif, and it's not Doma La'etzim in that way. So we wanted to make the rule that anything that's not similar to bone is not going to be metame, and that's why hair is not metame, and that's why fingernails are not metame. But by that same logic, or should not be metame, because it's also not similar to bone, in that or regenerates. Bone doesn't regenerate. So says Mar Ha'id Mar Allah, Amar Ula Dvar Torah Ar Adam Tahar. You're right. On a daraisa level, or adam is tar. It's not included in basra meis, and therefore it's not going to be metame like etzem. Matam amru tame. Why did we make a din derabanan that or adam is tame? Gzerah shemiyasa adam oros avimo shtichel nachamar. The concern is that a person is going to take, after his parents die, he's going to take the skins of his father and mother, and he's going to make it all types of, into different types of begadim that they use to put on the back of a chamar when they ride a chamar, and it's going to be a zilzal in the cover of his father and his mother. So they felt that they had to make a gzera of Ar HaMeis in order that people shouldn't come to use the Ar HaMeis. So that requires some discussion, but let's first see the Ikeda Amri. The Ikeda Amri, and another version of the discussion is, Hare Or De Ingiz O Machlif, Or is something that doesn't grow back. Ditnan V'Chum Poslim, because after all, the Chum say that a behema becomes a treifa when it's missing its Or. Obviously, it's because it doesn't grow back. V'afil Rameh Lo Kamachshir El Dekarir Bisra, and even Rabbi Meir holds that it's not a treifa, only because the basar of a behema will harden V'chaya, and that will cause the behemoth to live without skin, but they both agree that skin will never grow back. Liolam ein gizol machlif va'amru l'dvar Torah or adam tar, and yet we still say that on a doraisa level our adam is not tame. But why not? It should be just like etzem. I mean, this is coming from the exact opposite perspective, assuming a different metzius, the opposite metzius, that or never grows back, and we're already assuming in the havamina now that our adam is tar on a doraisa level. So why is it tar on a doraisa level? It's just like etzem. So it says mar ki itmar du'ula asefa itmar. When Ula says that our adam is tar min haTorah, he's talking about in the seifa of that mishnah where it says V'kulon she'ibdan o shilich ben kedei avoda, that all oros that the Chum say that are metame, that you do with the you tanning of the skin, or you walked on them enough to be ma'abed the or tahorin, because now they're no longer considered basar because you have been ma'abed them. Chutz me or adam, except for our adam that remains tame even after you're ma'abedit. Va'amar ula dvar Torah or adam ki ibdo tahor, and that's where Ula says, on a daraisa level, even in Yimra Abedar, it's going to be Tahar Umatam Amru Tame. Why is it that the Chazal decided that it should be Tame? Because of that same concern that people are going to take the Or of Avimo and turn them into Shtichin Lechamar. Frankly, Gemara very Basar de Gizo Machlif Itame. What about Basar of an Adam? That also grows back after it's cut off, and yet we say it's Tame. Aye, but it's not Dumyu de Etzem. Etzem doesn't grow back. Amar Barvashi, basar nasa mekomot tzalachas, that a basar, the flesh gets cut off of a person, it never comes back fully even after it heals. It becomes a tzalachas, meaning it leaves like a void, a cavity, and therefore it's not really gizomachlif. But seyar, tziporen, the hair and fingernails, that comes back legamri, and therefore when it's removed, the fact that it was once gone is not going to be obvious after it's healed. So a couple of things over here. First of all, in a couple of the contemporary tshuvas svarim, they discuss the status of a tooth and whether a tooth has a din of an aver. Not only the gabe tuma, but the gabe sakanas aver, as far as Hilchos Shabbos. In Tshuva Shevet Alevi, in Chelechesim Sadi Beis, he speaks about a case where a fellow's tooth fell out on Shabbos, and the dentist told him that if he puts it right back in, then it might regenerate, the bone might regenerate, it might reconnect to his mouth. Is he allowed to do that on Shabbos, or is it a violation of the malacha of bonus? So the svara to be matir is based on what the Shulchan Aruch writes, that if there's a sakanas aver, you're allowed to do any Isser D'Rabbanan on Shabbos, even without a shinui. And the Mishnah Berurah says that that's the shita that we pass on. There are three deos in Shulchan Aruch, but that's the ikur shita lahalacha. So maybe sakanas chisaron ha'ever is considered a sakanas ever, that you're allowed to violate any Isser D'Rabbanan of binyan b'Shabbos by putting it back into place. Or maybe no, maybe a tooth is not called sakanas ever. And there's also yesh ladan, whether it's a chashash binyan da'araisa or it's only binyan mid'Rabbanan. So he says it's a davar pashut that missing a tooth is not called sakanas ever, because teeth are clearly not begeder ever ha'adam. How do I know that? Our Gemara, there's no tumas mace on the teeth of a mace that are not mechuber to the mace. Meaning those that are mechuber to the mace, there is. But if it's detached from the mace, we just saw in the Brisa, in our Gemara, that it doesn't have a din of tumas mace because it's a person's not born with teeth. And it doesn't become a tzalakas. It's not considered me'evarei ha'adam. So what about the fact that by an Eved Kanani, the Torah is mechadesh, that ma'pil shino, or eno, so the shein or the ayin is yotze b'shein v'ayin because he's yotze b'rosh evarim. So apparently the shein is considered yashay evarim. So he says you can't learn from there to halachos that relate to chiyus ha'adam, to a person's ability to live. And since tooth is not one of the evarim of an adam, then we're not mechal Shabbos for a missing tooth. The Rama allows in Simon Shinchav Chesin El Chashabbos to tell a guy to remove a tooth when the person is feeling great pain in that tooth. He says that's because a machala of the tooth is considered a machala, but missing a tooth is not considered chisaron ever. In Nishmas Avram, he writes in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that a person who had the same situation, a tooth fell out, and the doctor says you could stick it back in, and then we'll be able to fully reattach it after Shabbos if you put it back in the mouth and the things don't move around too much. So he says you're allowed to put it back in on Shabbos, because he says it's not really a violation of bona, because the doctor is going to have to do something, the dentist is going to have to do something after Shabbos to complete the binyan, to make it fully reattached. I'm not familiar with this. Is this something that people do, that can reattach a tooth that fell out? I don't know, they put in dental implants and things like that. I don't know, I guess there's such a thing that they could reattach teeth. I don't know, hockey players must know about this. So the other issue, and the more jarring issue, is that the Gemara said that there's this legitimate concern that a person, that if Or Adam were Tahar, then people would take the Oros of their parents and would make them a Shtiach L'chamar. So in the Tshuva Saradvaz, Chelek Alef Simen Reish Samach Beis, he says, you know, one thing we know about Chazal, they do talk about strange cases, but they never have strange chashashos. I mean, whenever there's a chashash that lest you come to do, the milsla shchiach lo gozer v'rabbanan. The rabbanan only goes on things that are shchiach, that are likely to happen, and that are common to happen. So he says, very difficult to understand why they thought this was something that would be common. And also, why dafka oros avi v'imo? Why wouldn't they use oros of other people to use for things like this? Dafka, they're avi v'imo? So, the Tosfos in Masech Shulin discusses this. He says, whatever is asur b'ana is asur to make shticha from oros of anybody, but they only were gozer because there's a chashash chamur when it's aviv imo that it's going to be a terrible zilzal of aviv imo. But he quotes Ramban. Ramban gives the following terence. He says you have to be choshesh that he's going to be mafshit or aviv imo because he loves them so much, and he's going to keep them around in order to be maspid them, in order to have like a memento of his parents at all times, and he's going to have that skin as a reminder, and that's a violation of being malin mace and not being kover mishum bizayon. And the chum were afraid that he's going to do that in order to express his sadness. So the Radva says, according to that, we should have been gozer more on or shel beno rather than or shel avimo. There's greater tsar by misas beno than there is by misas avimo. Misas avimo is the derech olam; it's the natural way that the world works. They say that when Rav Shner Cutler was sitting shiva, I think it was Rav Shner lost a child at some point, that he was sitting shiva for a child, that Rav Salvechik and Rav Teitz and I think Rav Hutner went to be Menachem Avel, and Rav Shner raised the kasha of why it is that we have avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh for a parent, but there's no Yud Beis Chodesh for a child. You would think that a child is a much more painful experience. So the Pashat answer is because Yud Beis Chodesh is not about the pain. Yud Beis Chodesh didn't kibra ve'eim, so there's no din kibra ve'eim when it comes to a child. Rav Salvechik Kedarko said it's about the mesora, that you receive your mesora from your parents, and it's being mesavel over that loss of connection to Har Sinai, to the mesora. Sometimes, you know, people look through the world in their own glasses of Salvechik, so mesora in everything, because it was obviously so connected to his own family mesora. But anyway, the Radvaz says he thinks that Ramban doesn't make sense because of this. What do you mean that you're going to keep around or of Vima more than anybody else? He says more likely this relates to some sort of concern of kishuf, that it used to be something that used to be common in the ancient world, that they would use skins of human beings for some sort of kishuf purposes. So he says it must be that was the concern. Another issue relating to or of a mace, there's a discussion in the Tshuvas Semach Tzedek, the Kadmo, not the Lubavitcher, who discusses the making belts and other things out of human skin, and whether if someone already did that, whether a Kohen is allowed to use it, whether Yisrael is allowed to use it. And he says even for Yisrael it's Asr, because Or HaMeis is like the Basar, and the Basar HaMeis is Asr Ba'na, and even with Tzorach Refuah it's Asr. And if you are ma'abided to the point that it's not mitami min haTorah, only midrabanan, like our Gemara says, the Israel would only be midrabanan, and then it would be mutar l'tzoruch refuah, but only l'tzoruch refuah. So Tzemach Tzedek discusses Tosos and Arasugya. Tosos raises the question, how can a person come to make shtichim from Oros Avivimo? The Ora Meis is also ba'na, based on the Gezer Shavah that we learn from Meis Vatama Sham, and it says by Egla Rufa Va'orful Sham, so Ma Egla Arufa is Asur Bana, so a mace is Asur Bana. So how could we be concerned that a person is going to violate the Isra Hana from a mace and use it? So forget about the Tumah. Forget about the Tumah. We said we have to be Gozer Tumah Midrabanan, so the person won't do this. You won't do it anyway. There's an Isra of being Nene from a mace. So Tosus asks this question. Tosus gives a couple of Terutzim. First, Tosus says, really, the R is Asur Bana, but people violate Isurim all the time. Tumah, people are much more queasy at that. So they're much more nervous about Tumah than they are about Isurim. So they have to be Gozer at Tumah, because they Chazal saw that. That's what would make people uneasy about it. Or, Tosa says, that Or is not considered Bechal Basar as far as the Isra Hana'a. The Isra Hana'a Be'egla Rufa is only from that which it says Kapara, like Kachim, and Or Kachim is Mutzba Hana'a La'achaz Rika. So too, the Or HaMeis is going to be Mutter. So according to the second answer of Tosas, it turns out that an Or HaMeis is Mutzba Hana'a. So says the Tzemach Tzedek, ooh, so maybe you're allowed to use these things that are made out of an Or HaMeis? So he says, no. Elsewhere in Shas, Tosas asks the same Kasha, and he only brings the first answer. He doesn't bring the second answer. So you see from there that the first answer is the Iker, and that the second answer is not the Iker, that we don't assume that Or HaMeis is Mutabana, we assume that Or HaMeis is going to be Asabana. There's a Chiddush that they quote in the name of Rav Eliashiv, that if a person gets an Aver from a dead body, then in and it becomes part of his own body, there's a mitzvah saseh of kvura on every part of the dead body. So the Eivar HaMeis doesn't become part of the living body just because it's attached to the living body, which is the way most poskim understand, that once it becomes attached to another person's body, so it becomes part of him, Rav Eliyashiv understands, oh, it never loses its original status, and there's a chiyuv kvura. So why are people allowed to take limb parts from dead bodies in order to, he says, if it's pikuach nefesh, docha kol yisurin shebetorah. But if it's short of pikuach nefesh, then a person walking around with a limb from another body, including a skin graft from another body, if it's not pikuach nefesh, if it's from a dead body, there's a mitzvah kvura every moment that you're walking around with it. That's quite a chiddush that Rav Eliyashiv had, la halacha. Okay, says Gemara Vayter now, avala zov. So we said that zov is metame lach, but not metame yavish. Zov minalan. How do I know that zov is metame? Titania, because the Braisa tells us as follows, zovo tame, limin ala zov, shu tame. So we learn from the fact that it says that it juxtaposes the word zovo to the word tame, and doesn't say zov zovo mi bisaro, but rather it says kiye zov mi bisaro, zovo tame. So we see that zov itself is tame, not just the zov from whom it came. Valo dinhu, so asked the Braisa, why do I need to learn this from a pasuk? Can I learn it from a kal v'chomer? La'achirim gorim tuma la'atzma l'kolshkein. If this flow causes tumah to the person from whom it came, then for sure it itself should be tameh. It's a kal v'chomer. So says Mar, that kal v'chomer doesn't always work. Because sir mishaleach yochiach. You can learn from the sir la'azazel in Yom Kippur that that's not always true. Shegorim tuma la'achirim. The sir mishaleach causes tumah to the one who is mishaleach it. He's mitameh. He becomes tameh and his begadim become tameh. That's a pasuk in the Torah. V'hu atzmo tar, yet the seer itself is tar. Safatah t'tam al zeh. And therefore, maybe we could have said the same thing about the zov. Sha'af b'shagorim tum la'achirim hu atzmo tar. Even though the zov causes the zov to become tameh, but the zov itself may be a star. That's why tamalomer zovo tameh limin al zov shu tameh. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me zovo tameh. That only that the zov itself is tameh. I don't derive it from a kal v'chomer. I derive from a pasuk. Maybe that pasuk only tells me that the zov is metame b'maga. But maybe it's not. It does not have the ability to be metame b'masa. Just like we find such a similar thing by a sheretz, that a sheretz is metame b'maga, but it's not metame b'masa, because the pasuk by sheretz says eila atmeim lechem b'chol sheretz kol hanogeya behe b'masa mitmar darav. That it's dafka maga that sheretz is metame. So maybe zov should be the same way. Some rabbi b'barabaye b'maga lewitz. Of course zov is metame b'maga. I don't need a pasuk to tell me zov is metame b'maga, because it's no worse than shechvazera, because zov is included in shechvazera, so it's metame adam b'maga, just like shechvazera is. Why do I need zovo tame to tell me that it's metame even b'masa? Ki yitzichra l'masa. The pasuk of zovo tame is there to tell me that it's metame b'masa. Ve'ema b'masa metame adam b'gadim b'maga. But b'maga adam metame b'gadim lo metame. But still, I wouldn't know the full extent of the tumah of the zov, because maybe you're right. But with masa, it's metame adam and the begadim that the person is wearing. But maybe b'maga, it's only metame adam, but it's not metame the begadim she'alav. Where do we find such a thing? Just like by nevela, but by tumas nevela, b'maga tumas nevela is metame only the adam that touches it, and not the begadim she'alav. And yet b'masa, it's metame the adam and the begadim she'alav. So maybe zov should follow that same pattern, that same rule. So it says, "Malo salkadaitich." You can't have such a avamina. Titania, because we have a brisa that acherim omrim vazov zovo lazach v'lanakeva makish zovo lo. That there's a hekish in the pasuk between the zov and the zav. Mahulo chilak to bein magol l'masao l'tami adam l'tami begadim af zovo kein. Just like the zav, we don't make a distinction between adam and kelim as far as between maga and masa. As far as its ability to be metame both Adam and Begadim Shalav, so to the Zov, we're not going to make any such distinction. And Bein B'maga, Bein B'masa, it's metame both Adam and the Begadim Shalav. So we learn from the Hekish of Zov es Zovo that Zov is metame Adam. Begadim and Begadim Shalav, both Bimaga and Bimasa. Once we have that hekesh, says Gemara, V'hash Nafkalam Azov Zovo, Zovo Tameh Lamali. Why do I need the original Limud anymore? Why do I need Zovo Tameh? I already have a hekesh that whatever Zov is Mitameh, the Zov is Mitameh. So I'm reviewed on Midaskarta, it's Rech. Now I do need the Pasuk of Zovo Tameh. Why? Salka Dait Chaminu Sir Mishtalech Yochiach. I might think that Sir Mishtalech shows that even that which causes Tumah to other things does not become Tameh itself. Shegorim Tumlach Erevuat Motah. And you're going to tell me, oh, but I have the pasuk Zavas Zavo that links the Zov to the Zav and should therefore be Metame. No, that pasuk maybe I could use for something else. Maybe that pasuk is just telling me how many times a Zav has to have Re'ios in order to achieve certain levels of Tuma. That Zov Chad, the word Zov tells me Ria Achas of a Zov, Zovo Tarti, the extra Vav, the Zovo tells me a second re'iyah of a zov, and then it says afterwards la zachar. So we learn from there that shtei re'iyos of a zachar is already going to be that if there are shtei re'iyos, it's like a re'iyah zachar, which is only mitame when it's zov from his basar. But if it comes out la'onso machmas chimum or anything else, it's not going to be mitame ubashlishi. And then on the re'iyah shlishis, actually, Rachmana l'nekeva. Then we compare it to a nekeva, because it says v'la nekeva, so that's tameh and brings a karban, even if you see ba'ones. So since hazava zovo is needed to tell me for this other limud, and it's not melameh that the zov itself is tameh, so kas Rachmana zovo tameh. That's why I need the pasuk zovo tameh to tell me that the zov itself is tameh. Hashtadam Rachmana zovo tameh hu drush be'nami hai. So once I have a separate limud that zov is tameh, now I can use Vazava Zovo to tell me also the hekesh between the Zav and the Zov as far as the Tumas Maga and Masa for the Adam and the Begadim Sha'alav. Good, now the Mishnah, then we move on to the next line of the Mishnah. Harok, we said that Rok is Metame Lach and is not Metame Yavesh. So Rok Minalan, where do I know that Rok is Metame Bemago Masa? Zetanya, because we have a Brisa of Vechi Yarok, so Yachalaf Pishlo Naga. You might think even if you don't, the rope does not touch the Torah person, you just are Yara Kenegdo, that it's Tame. So Tame Lomar Batohar, Ache Yiga Batohar, that has to actually touch the Torah person. En the Alaruko, Kicho b'nio umeya afshalo minayin. How do I know that phlegm and mucus? So tamalomar v'chi yarok, that the extra vav. Amar mar yachal afal pi shalo naga. So we had said that you might think even if it doesn't touch that the rok is going to be metame. Frankly, what kind of havamin is that? Mehechitesi, that saliva of a zav is going to be metame if it doesn't touch anybody. So salgadai dechamina nilf rok mi yavama. I might think we should. Where else does saliva matter in halacha when it comes to yavama? So mahasam af pi delo naga. Just like by the yavama, the rok doesn't have to touch the brother af hachanami delo naga. So too over here, also the rok doesn't have to touch. Kamash Milan, that's the Havaminus, that's why we're told otherwise. The Emer Hani Mili Bimaga of Masalo, maybe the idea that Roko Kicho Neo Mea Af of Zavar Matame, it's only Betumas Maga, but not Betumas Masa. So Mididava Sharitz, just like a Sharitz, is only Matame Bimaga and not Bimasa. So Mare Shlagish, Tandabi Rabbi Shmuel, Amakra Batahar, Masha Biyad Tor, Time Silach. That we learned that if the zav spits masha biyad tahar timei silach, even if it doesn't touch it, the tahar, he only carries it, it's just biyad tahar, even if it's not being nogea the tahar, but the tahar is carrying it b'masa, it's tamei ve'ema b'masa metame adam u'begadim b'maga adam l'tamei begadim lo l'tamei mididav ha'magin avelu. Same kasha we asked before, that we should say that maybe b'masa it's metame both adam and begadim, but b'maga it's only metame adam and not metame begadim shalav, just like nevela. Some Reish Lakish, Chen Tan Debir Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Kra. The pasuk says Bat Tahar, Tarisha Tiharti Lecha b'makom acher Timesi Lecha Kan. Veizazez Zem Maga Nevela. That which I was mitar b'makom acher, I was mitame for you over here. And that, what's that Tahara? That's Maga Nevela. That the Torah is mitar the begadim that are on a person that touches it. So that's the Torah's metame benogeya roke of a zav. The ema b'masad sheretz. Maybe that when it says that we're metar b'makom acher, it's talking about masa of a sheretz. That someone who's no say a sheretz is tahar. So that the Torah is being metame over here, being no say roke hazov. But maga of roke is like maga nevela. That's only metame adam and not metame begadim. So imke nichtav krab. Ba'adam. My batohar shmamina. Should have said ba'adam, so we darshan that which is biada adam, the masa, is tame. But why does it say batohar? So it must be shmamina tarti, that we learn both things, that that the roke is of a zav is metame b'masa. We learn from the fact that it says batohar with an extra beis, and that whatever is biyado is metame, even if he's not touching it. And the fact that b'magat metame adam and begadam shalav, we learn from the fact that it says Tahar and not ba'adam, that which the Torah is matar b'makom acher, namely the begadim that a person is wearing when he's nogea b'nevela, which is normally tahar. Over here we're metame that roke hazav is metame even the begadim that a person is wearing when he touches the roke hazav. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Meha'af tomorrow.